All right, let's roll.
Okay, here we go. Chapter 22 of Jeremiah, starting at verse 17. But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness. Good grief, can't even talk here. Covetousness and for to shed innocent blood and for oppression and for violence to do it. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother, or ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry from the passages, for all thy lovers are destroyed. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou sayest, I will not hear. Thus hath been the manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. O inhabitant of Lebanon, that makest the nest in the cedars, how gracious shalt thou be when the pangs come upon thee. The pain is of woman in travail. As I live, saith Yahweh, through Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence, and I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, and into another country where you were not born, and there ye shall die. But to the land whereinto they desire to return, thither they shall not return. Is that man Coniah a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore art they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, write ye, this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David, and ruling any more in Judah. End of chapter 22.
I spoke about this chapter being out of order, and it's just not going to be feasible to really fix the order of these chapters in this Bible study, because it's something I'd have to really devote several days to. I had planned not to talk about the disordering of the chapters until we got to chapter 32, because the Septuagint does not start from the Masoretic text until we get to chapter 32. However, here it's pretty plain to me that these chapters are out of order. It's Coniah is actually a shortening of Jeconiah, or Jehoiachin, I think. Jehoiachin, and this is Jehoiakim. Jehoiachin, Jehoiakim, according to Jehoiakim's the father of Jehoiachin. Coniah is Jehoiachin, the son. He doesn't become king until 598. Jehoiakim is king from 609 to 598. But if I'm not mistaken, Josiah is king to, and Jehoiakim is taking place somewhere in these chapters right here. Jeremiah chapter 25, Jehoiakim is, it's in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. Okay. But in chapter 25, verse 3, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this date, it is the 23rd year. The word of Yahweh has come to me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. So in chapter 25, it's the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, but it's the 23rd year of Josiah, king of Judah. And Josiah ruled for 30 years. So his son must be associated with him on the throne, and Josiah is still alive. The text just isn't very clear.
Well, that was kind of common, wasn't it? Where the son would kind of start while dad was still there?
Yes, that was common, associating the son on the throne. And the Shalem is associated in 2211. The third son of King Josiah of Judah and subsequent King of Judah reigned for 3 months before he was taken captive to Egypt, where he was placed in chains and later died. So Jeconiah is next in line, I gather. Or Jehoiachin, I'm sorry. Jehoiachin. Jehoiakim. It's so easy to get them all confused. Jehoiakim is going to take his place on the throne with the father. But these chapters, that there are inconsistencies in them that someday I hope to be able to sort out. But I just can't do it. I don't have enough time to do it for these Wednesday night Bible studies. I'm sorry. It's something I got to devote 2 days at a time to, and until I get them straightened out. Maybe I can do that for a commentary or a podcast. Or
well, it's a little bit obscure for us at the moment.
Yeah, it might remain obscure. I mean, I spoke about it probably at greater length last week. A couple of chapters ago, where there were seeming inconsistencies in the chronology between chapters.
Yeah.
And it must start earlier than chapter 32. That's where the Septuagint departs from the King James Version. And it works in a different order. I'm fairly certain that begins in chapter 32. I gotta reach over here and get my Septuagint again and try to get to the end of Jeremiah where Strong's has a chart. No, I'm sorry. It starts in chapter 25. You see, I can't even remember right. I guess it depends on which way you're looking. Okay, 25, chapter 25, we're not in there yet. From verse 14 to the end is Septuagint chapter 32. So that's where it starts, but it starts at 25 in the Hebrew, in a Masoretic text, the inconsistencies, and 32 in the Septuagint. Wow. So the inconsistencies begin in chapter 25, which we won't pay too much attention to here for the for our purposes here, but we will know. In the chronology as we proceed. Understood to be a reference to Jeconiah, which is Josiah's grandson and not his son, because it's Coniah or Jeconiah or Jehoiachin, but it's Jeconiah in a couple of places, and that's why I got that mind. It's Jeremiah chapter 24.
User disconnected from your channel.
Jeconiah, the son of, and in Jeremiah 29:2, it's Jeconiah. Wow. Connection problems all night. I don't know what's wrong. I apologize, but I can't. I've already rebooted my phone router once.
It's not too bad right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So four times in Jeconiah and twice in First Chronicles chapter 3, four times in Jeremiah chapters 24 through 29, it's spelled Jeconiah. And shortened, that's Coniah that we see here, right? And Coniah only appears a couple of times, three times in Jeremiah, and that's it. But usually, in English, it was spelled Jehoiachin. And wow, I'd have to look at the Hebrew and try to figure out why. It's in 2 Kings, it's Jehoiachin five times, twice in Chronicles, and once in Jeremiah chapter 52. So Jehoiachin is Jeconiah, who is Coniah. And Coniah is the way to say Jeconiah without the part that refers to Yahweh. So here what's going on is Yahweh is taking out his part of Jeconiah's name, is calling him Coniah.
Wow.
In other words, he's not be worthy to name that to be named after Yahweh.
I wonder what Coniah means without.
Well, it's established, but it's Yahweh will establish with Jeconiah.
So he's not going to be established by God anymore, and then we find that his seed is cursed. So this is the chapter where his seed, that curse on the house of David, no seed.
Right, but right. He's not really established, is he?
Yeah, that's been all removed, hasn't it? So wow.
But that to me is the signification of Yahweh calling him Coniah, is Yahweh's taking his name out of the name of Jeconiah because Jeconiah ain't worthy of it.
No, I agree with that insight for sure. That's a great insight. And then in the next chapter, which we're getting to, that's the figs chapter. So, yeah. The bad figs.
Yes.
The horrible figs. What are they?
I think we're in chapter 23 right now, and then we get to 24, and that's the bad figs chapter. Yes.
Chapter 23. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Yahweh. Excuse me. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh God of Israel against the pastors and that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Yahweh. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and that they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith Yahweh. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, thereby he shall be called Lord our righteousness, Yahweh our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that they shall be no more safe. Yahweh liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Yahweh liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man.
User in your channel,
like time a down. Man whom wine hath overcome, because Yahweh, and because of Yahweh, and because of the words of his holiness. The land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, and land mourneth. The pleasant place of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith Yahweh. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them as a slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith Yahweh. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy in Baal and cause many of my people Israel to err. I have also seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They shall all of them unto them be as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts concerning the prophets,
User in your channel, time down.
I will feed them with wormwood, and I make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profane has gone forth into all the land. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak division of their own heart,
User entered
and not
channel.
Out of the mouth of Yahweh. They say still unto them that despise me, Yahweh have said, ye shall have peace. And they say to everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of Yahweh, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his words and heard it? Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord Yahweh has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahweh shall not return until he have executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. We'll stop there at verse 20.
Well, we see the pastors are always getting blamed for the sins of the people, and they're the ones responsible. The pastors are the leaders of the people, and they're the ones responsible for their sins. And they always lead the people astray every time.
Well, it's sure going on today with Judeo-Christianity.
Yeah, and these pastors, wow, the penalty they're going to face when they meet their maker. It's I wouldn't want to be one of them telling these people.
Yahweh wants you all to have $1 billion.
Yeah, right. And Melissa explained to me friends that she knew, girls that she knew back in Tennessee, beautiful blonde, blue-eyed white girls, that their pastors told them, oh, it's okay to race mix. There's nothing wrong about it in the Bible. You could marry somebody of another race. And they went and did it.
Destroyed the whole house.
Yeah. And that's, they stand there and bold-faced, and they just
User
lie.
Disconnected from your channel.
If they feared God, before they said something, they would actually check to make sure they're correct. You know, if they
they're
actually
feared the
God.
Bullshit that they get in the seminary, I guess, and they don't even check it, Joe. They don't check it.
Telling the truth don't pay.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a problem too.
Yeah.
But that's the bottom line is that they don't check. They don't go and actually examine the scriptures for themselves. They only read it through that filter that they were given in school. I can't understand it, right? Because the first time I read the identity message, in a couple of books that Keith Holton gave me back in 96, I went right up and got me a Bible and read the Bible. And it took me a couple of months to read the Bible. But I read the whole thing cover to cover without reading anything else in between. And I saw that identity message all over it. And once I got to the New Testament, especially to Peter and Jude and John, the Gospel of John, you couldn't get me off it. But I never thought Paul was a fake. I learned pretty early, not then, but I learned pretty early, probably by the end of 98, that there were serious mistranslations in Paul. And that's why I set out to learn Greek, just to defend Paul. Because Ralph Daigle had some Paul-bashing material in those days that I thought was bullshit, and it sounded disingenuous to me.
User entered your channel.
Now, Christ, yeah, you know, I've heard this a few times in recent weeks. I don't know if it's in the chat. It's not from our people. It's what the other side say, that Christ is not like an actual descendant of David. Basically, Mary was just an incubator, like a surrogate mother. But if Mary was only a surrogate mother, then Christ couldn't be a branch of David, and he couldn't be a son of David. And here we also see that that word branch is used of a descendant of a man in verse 5. And Mary was merely a surrogate mother. There's no way Christ could be called User a branch of David out. Or is having the flesh of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 2, I think it is. Or he might be a root, but he wouldn't be a branch. And the scripture clearly says he's both the root and the branch.
Well, my question would be, doesn't the tribe come from the father? Like your tribe isn't a mix of your mothers and fathers. It's your fathers.
Right. That's true.
And so he's sort of adopted. He sort of takes something from Joseph, doesn't he? Like.
Yeah, well, he took the inheritance. He took his inheritance from Joseph, and Mary must have been of the tribe of Judah. Some people say she was of the tribe of Levi, but that's just shit. So I guess he could count himself being of the tribe of Judah through the mother. And through the inheritance that he received from the father.
I mean, the Holy Spirit is actually his dad or his father.
Right.
That's how Mary became pregnant. Wasn't overshadowed by Joseph. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit.
If he's a Melchizedek priest, does he have to have a... No, sorry, that was a silly question. I'm just thinking it out. Another thing I wanted to ask you, Bill, is Jacona.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Technically, right? If you're the father of three sons and each start their own tribe, you're actually a member of many of those tribes. How could you not be? So you're a member of any and every one of those tribes. Think about it. Otherwise, how does Christ call himself the Son of Man? He could only call himself the Son of Woman. Okay. Maybe that's not a perfect parallel, but it's close. The Lord lives in front up in which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. I might have a reason to use that in tomorrow's podcast. Well, I call it tomorrow's podcast because hopefully I'll be recording it tomorrow night.
Verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, it caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith Yahweh, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see, saith Yahweh? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says Yahweh? I have heard that the prophet said, my prophecy, that prophecy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? They are prophets
channel.
Of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith Yahweh? Excuse me. Is not my word like as a fire, saith Yahweh, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith Yahweh, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith Yahweh, that use their tongue and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that falsify false dreams, saith Yahweh, and who tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith Yahweh. And when his people this people, or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of Yahweh? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith Yahweh. As for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of Yahweh, I will even punish that house, that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother. What hath Yahweh answered? And what hath Yahweh spoken? And the burden of Yahweh shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of Yahweh of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath Yahweh answered thee, and what hath Yahweh spoken? But since ye say, the burden of Yahweh, therefore thus saith Yahweh, because ye say this word, the burden of Yahweh, I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of Yahweh. Therefore, behold, even I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and be a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. End of chapter 23.
That perpetual shame that will not be forgotten from misleading the people of God, that sounds an awful lot to me like that everlasting contempt in Daniel chapter 12.
Hey, Don, I don't know if it was me, but you seem to be breaking up a lot.
Huh.
He was fine here for every word of it. Honest.
Microphone
yeah,
activated.
I can hear it fine.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem.
Microphone muted.
I like this line in verse 28. What is the chaff to the wheat? I wish I had that on my mind dealing with Eli James 12 years ago. What is the chance of the week?
I like that one too, Bill. Let them tell their dreams, because the word of the Lord is a consuming fire, to paraphrase.
Right.
You know, let them tell their lies, because God's truth will burn
User
up all their lies.
From your channel.
And all the tares go into the fire with them.
Amen.
Well, how many times haven't you heard the Judeos, especially the burden of the Lord?
User entered your channel.
I've gotten a burden from God, and he has to tell you. I've heard that before. I haven't heard it in quite a while, but... And you're not supposed to say that, from what if my understanding of that is correct.
You're not supposed to say that. Yeah, Yahweh is saying, don't say the burden of the Lord anymore.
Right, but they say it. Because they think they sound holy saying it or something.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't hear them say it. I don't know what Judeos say unless I look it up on Google. Because I was raised in the Catholic Church, and they don't even talk about the Bible.
It's true. I knew nothing about the Bible, and I was a Catholic.
When they say shit like, the Lord is telling me this, or the Lord is going to do this for you, or that, that's no different than the burden of the Lord. It's just worded differently. It's the same blasphemous idea.
Right. Taking the name of God in vain, because they don't know what the hell he's going to do.
I even hear them say, like, oh, he revealed this to me in a dream. And it's like, there's even prophecies, like, saying that it's your delusions. Yeah. Probably.
It's kind of like James, like Ryan would say that if you imagine it, that it'll come to you. And then you read the Apostle James saying, don't think that you could go say that you're going to go into this city or that city and trade and prosper for a year, that you don't know what's going to happen, basically.
Well, also, they attribute the Holy Spirit. They say the Holy Spirit's working through us to make this happen and all that shit.
Christ said something like, who can add to his stature through thought alone? Something like that. So imagining yourself to grow taller isn't going to make you taller.
I'm referring to James 4:13, right, Joe? That's exactly right. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know. So how could you make plans like that? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, look at the guy that built all them grain bins because he hits it to harvest. Doesn't he know that he's going to be called tonight? He's... all the grain he's going to harvest, he ain't going to be alive tomorrow to see it.
Right. And James is only warning us to be humble and to live a simple life one day at a time. Basically. Get up in the morning, make an honest living or earning your daily bread and go to bed at night.
Yep.
Hoping to wake up tomorrow.
Matthew 6:27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And who of you by worrying is able to add one cubit to his stature?
Right. Nope, all good things come from God, and that's it.
And also, God isn't going to send you something contrary to his law. So if you say, I had a dream that one day everyone's going to sing under a rainbow, black and white and Asians all together, and I'm a prophet. And it's like, yeah, but I'm looking at his law here, and that's against his law. So he's not going to bring that to fruition, is he? So people claim to be a prophet isn't going to prophesize contrary to Yahweh's law. That would be a false prophet. So if they prophesize anything contrary to his law, they're false.
Yeah, you know, that exact line of thinking is how I knew that the whole UFO movement was bullshit. I'm talking back in like 98, 99 when I first read that Bible. And at the same time, I'm listening to Art Bell and Whitley Strieber at night just for entertainment, just for shits and giggles, because it was better than listening to niggers. And every like person that they had on that had some kind of like they were abducted by aliens or they had some message, an encounter with aliens, it was always some kind of rainbow, peace, love, and joy message that all nations and races must get along and this and that. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man. That's all bullshit. That's just lies and deception. That's all it is. It's lies. They're just lying. That shit never happened.
That's when I realized that the aliens are actually demons, Bill.
Yeah, right. And I agree with that. But it's like everyone that claims to have had an encounter with aliens has that same message of universal peace, love, and joy.
On the forums, there's a thread where people post about how the aliens apparently hate Jesus. Like a lady was abducted by aliens and she said the name Jesus and the aliens went into shock or something. I don't know. It's just a interesting, I don't know,
wow,
story.
I don't know. I never met an alien besides maybe a freaking Mexican or a Paki or something.
Somali.
Like aliens.
Somali.
I got a lot of experience with them.
But we don't have Somalis here in Florida, though.
That's good.
You want some? Not that I've seen yet. We got plenty of Haitians and Jamaicans, though. Walmart's loading us up with them. All the stock shelf, all the shelf stockers in Walmart are Haitians now. Every freaking one of them.
That's because they make the best shelf stockers. It's a meritocracy.
Yeah, right. Best shelf stockers at $3 an hour.
And they always ask you how to do what they're supposed to be doing. Like they're like, how do you do this? And they don't even say it in like English. They're like, how do, and like you have to try to interpret them. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, we just hate them. We go back into Walmart for toilet paper and paper towels about once a month, and they're just in the way. At every turn, they're in the way. That's all they are. Hanging out, taking up the whole aisle like four freaking Haitians.
It's like a charity. It's like the business is just paying them a charity wage to...
Right, it is.
It's not like they're the best workers.
It is even for niggers because they just stand around and sit in the break room and they get to take fucking like six breaks in a fucking 8-hour shift. And it's like you're just in there all day and you're talking to people and hanging out. It's a big social club for them. Drug money, I guess. Free drug money.
The white man's food and he's doing all the work.
They stand in the hallway and block up the aisles. And when you drive on the road, they stand and talk to each other and plug the whole road off. That's what I see up here all the time. They just sit there and they'll look at you sitting there. Get out of the way. Get off the side.
Sorry. I was going to say, if one of them gets hit by a car, they don't even really care. They're just like, oh, shit, he got hit. And it's like their best buddy. And it's like not even a big deal to them. They don't even have empathy or anything.
Yeah, like 2 hours later, they forgot about it.
Just like the chains, they laugh, in fact.
They laugh, then 5 minutes later, it's completely forgotten. When we lose someone, we're like months thinking about the person and like, gee, I wonder where he is now, and I hope he's with God. And
you know what the chinks do is they make sure if they hit you, they'll make sure they'll go back and hit you again, make sure you're dead. Because if you're not dead and you get injured, then you have to pay that guy's family money for the rest of your life or a certain period of time, like maybe 20 years. But if the guy's dead, then it's something like a one-time lump sum or something. It's less money. So that's what I heard that they do in China. Like if they hit you by accident, then they'll make sure you're dead.
So if you see somebody hit somebody, don't get in the way when he throws her in reverse. Here he comes.
Microphone activated.
I guess.
I know you guys have seen the video of that little chink that got like ran over and there were just all the passerbys. It was in China or something. They were just walking by and stop, look at his body, walk by, you know.
All right, chapter 24, or...
Okay, we're ready. Here we go. Jeremiah chapter 24. Yahweh showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of Yahweh. After that, Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. The other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said Yahweh unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs. The good figs, very good. And the evil, very evil. That cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely, thus saith Yahweh, so will I give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes, and his residue of Jerusalem that remain in the land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their end of chapter 24 of Jeremiah.
This episode with the book of Ezra, king of Babylon, going and carrying away Jeconiah, And Jeconiah is actually mentioned in an inscription, in a Babylonian inscription, that he was among the captives in the king's house, were fed at the king's tables. I think that was after he had his eyes put out. And I believe all his sons were slain. I'm trying to think of where that's first mentioned. I'm trying to look for that. It's in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 1. That captivity, that was 605 BC. And the book of Nezar had just come to power in 606. I mean, I might be off a year on either date, but I think it was 606. And then he comes to Jerusalem in 605. Maybe he came to Jerusalem in 604. But that captivity is actually what had taken Daniel and Ezekiel both to Babylon, was this right here. So Daniel's in Babylon after this, from this time. He's a very young man in Babylon, and Ezekiel is probably older, a middle-aged man, and he's in Babylon. That's why Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, opens up with Ezekiel at the river Kabar, which is in Mesopotamia. And it's arguable that I actually wrote about it today somewhere. Maybe it's in my podcast. I think it's in my podcast. Put him a couple kilometers west of Babylon, the location is argued one way or the other. It's only 65 kilometers, right? About a little over 50 of our miles. So Daniel too, they were both taken this time. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 1. So they were evidently good figs, right? But Jeremiah wasn't taken. He stayed back in Jerusalem.
It reminds so these, me of it.
Yeah, he was.
That these bad figs, that they're not necessarily of Judah, that they could be the bastards of Jerusalem. And we see them in Ezekiel, and we saw them in the early chapters of Jeremiah, how they were mixing. And they had these people that couldn't wash the sin off their face. Well, there's a basket of good figs, and there's a basket of naughty figs. And it says, that he give certain people to the naughty figs. And to do of Jerusalem that remain his land, and then that dwell in the land of Egypt. He's giving them to the bad figs.
They aren't the bad figs themselves. His hand right. is giving them over to them.
Yes, that's the way I read that, and it's pretty clear to me that that's what's going on. The problem is that here, where we have a mention of Zedekiah, I think Zedekiah was put into when Jeconiah was taken away, but Zedekiah was made king. That's what happens there. So as soon as Jeconiah is taken away, Zedekiah is basically being cursed already that he's going to be given over these bad figs.
He probably didn't even care. Like, he probably barely even heard it and just did it. You know, he's probably too proud to even see. Yahweh might have blinded him, because if he's given this prophecy and then he does it anyways.
Right. Yeah, and he must have been given this prophecy. Because Jeconiah was only the king for like a year. And Zedekiah became king in 597 BC. Jeconiah didn't become king until 598. So he was only king for a year, and he was taken away to Babylon. Where Zedekiah was king for the last 12 years of Jerusalem's existence before the Babylonians destroyed it. I got two different chronologies, and that's why I said that this happened in 605. And I do have two different chronologies, but this late chronology I have is 598. That's actually my Bible. And none of the chronologies are none of them are, there's a lot of various chronologies that are in disagreement. But that's besides the fact. Nebuchadnezzar went to Jerusalem a short time after he became the king, and the princes of Judah, the people men of Judah, and Amal and Ezekiel. As soon as he becomes king, he's cursed. He's screwed. He's going to be given over to bad figs. He can't stop his destiny. Well, once the repent, word of God says it, there's nothing that you could says it, Joe. There's nothing that you could do to change your behavior to make it to avoid it. Because God said it.
And man doesn't have his own will that's, you know, independent of God. That's what that's telling us, you know. Man can't be separated.
He has free will, have free will, but free will is an illusion at the same time. And free will is an illusion, and this is how I explain it. And I went back and forth with Mark Downey a lot on this. I make my own decisions. We all make our own choices, or we think we're making our own choices. Choices. Yahweh being God, he can't help but already know what choice we're going to make. We're going to make before we make a decision. If it's a sin, we're agreeing to that sin. So we're to blame and not him. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And there's other ways to like articulate it, but the basic concept, yeah.
So we have free will because we make our decisions, but we don't have free will because God already knows what decisions we're going to make. So we can't help but make the decisions we make. And when we make the wrong decision, we couldn't help but to make the wrong decision. And because Yahweh, God, knows our nature is born. Man has a sinful nature. He's going to make wrong decisions. So Zedekiah, he was fucked as soon as he started. He couldn't change his mind if he wanted to. Because once the word of God says that that's what's going to happen, that there's no avoiding it.
Sometimes it seems like the only choice we have is the choice that Joshua made, whether we choose to follow God or not.
Right.
But even here, like in verse 7 of chapter 24, and I will give them heart to know me, that I am Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God.
Right.
It's like it says in the New Testament, like he is the finisher of our faith. It's not because we're great, he did it.
Exactly. Is it expressed in Deuteronomy, and I'm gonna find it in a second. If it would stop typing in the wrong window, I'd have found it already. Circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love Yahweh God with all thine heart. So when we love him and we choose him, it's because he chose that. He chose that for us. And we think we're doing it of our own free will, but we're really not. Repentance comes from God.
And that means our salvation is also with God. It's not because we made a decision or anything like that.
Right. And all these Judeotards that think that they can choose God are just kidding themselves.
And the CI-Liders who think that you have to, that not all the white race will be saved, you know, they're in the same boat as the Judeos.
Right.
Sorry, Bill.
They're no better than Judeos. If God has to give you a heart to know him and to obey him, then nothing you do to deserve salvation. It's only what he does. Because you can't really do it of your own volition. You can't. And all the Judeos basically believe in salvation by works. Because they all believe they can do something to save themselves or to not be saved.
So if you're not immersed, you're
either way. Either way, it's salvation by words.
Yep. Microphone activated.
Even and if all you do have to do is believe, that's still a work.
Yeah. And you have to ask, what were the works of Abraham? Abraham believed God. So if you're going to do the works of Abraham.
That's the only thing that made him righteous, was that he believed God.
And one other thing at the end of this chapter here, it says, and I will put in them a heart to know me, to paraphrase, I think it was. Well, when was that prophecy ever fulfilled in the Jews? Because they reject him and they hate him. So they don't know him.
Nope.
So the prophecy was never fulfilled in these Jews.
Not only won't they say his name, they won't even say the word God. They say GD.
Yeah. Oh, like geez. That's going to protect him. Oh, if we don't say his name.
I know. It's just totally fucking retarded. Totally retarded.
That's just Jewish you can get there, boy.
Yeah, and that
can't
also.
Say God?
Well, that also leads to 27, verse 27, where Yahweh says, their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, right? So that's what they've done to us now, that, well, for a very long time, that we just call him Lord. We don't call him by his actual name.
Wow.
And that's the same thing that Jews do. So they've rubbed off on us, right? They've convinced us because they don't even like to say the word God. And obviously back then people were not using the name Yahweh at this point in time. They were just calling him Lord, which is what Baal means.
David's still in chapter 23, but that's okay. The point is valid.
Yeah, sir. I walked away for a while, but
yeah, we just did chapter 24, but that's okay. Your point is valid. That's fine.
It is. It connects in. But my last question would be, you know, at the start where it says naughty figs can't be eaten, they're so naughty. Would you relate that to Genesis microphone with the muted trees that can't be eaten? You know, there's that tree you can't eat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're connected into that same tree. They're going to be part of that absolutely same evil tree.
Yeah, right. That's absolutely clear. It'll be lost out of Judeotard. So that's a very good point. Zedekiah and the princes of Judah and his offspring, they couldn't help themselves 300 years later but to mix with the Edomites.
Yeah, they were probably, you know, like, can a leopard change? Once you start sinning, it was probably difficult for them to stop sinning because they're probably partying like 24/7 and just total, you know, total waste of time getting drunk and everything. They weren't going to stop. They weren't going to repent.
Nope.
And the residue of Jerusalem. So at the end there, you've got the residue of Jerusalem, but that's a different kind of remnant. You know, there's two remnants here. There's one remnant that's going into punishment, and there's another remnant that's going off to be preserved.
Right, but I see a lot of the returnees as being those that are going to be punished. Because they ended up mixing with the Edomites and being responsible for the crucifixion of Christ and rejecting the apostles and all that.
It's like God is always continually sifting his people.
Yes. It seems to be it's going to last until all the tares are gone. And they all learn a lesson. Which they're not even going to understand in this life. They're never going to understand in this life.
Oh.
No matter how much history and scripture I know in Greek and Latin and Hebrew and all this other bullshit, there's no way I can convert a Judeotard. Imagine that. They got to wake up themselves and then they could talk to me and then only Yahweh gets the credit. I can't. I realized that in prison, right? I talked to Catholics and Pentecostals and Baptists, Southern Baptists, and one guy named James Simpson. You could mention any scripture, chapter and verse of scripture, and he'd recite it for you. And he was so proud of himself that he could do that. But other than that, he was just plain retarded. I told him, you might know the whole Bible inside and out, but I know the story and you don't know the story. And he'd fight with me and argue with me and kick and scratch and claw. And I couldn't get rid of him. And he found it a matter of pride to argue with me until I figured out that if I dropped an F-bomb that he'd leave for good. And I did. And he said, you're no Christian. And he stormed off. And I was happy that he was gone. And I wish I'd have found out that I could do, I wish I'd have realized I could do that a week before I did.
Yeah, imagine how the real Judeos that aren't in prison see you, Bill. You don't even wear a suit and a tie. You say naughty words. You got no hope.
Right, I know. No, I can't wear a suit and tie again. I never will.
I might do it as a troll. That would be pretty funny. Suit and tie, go to the church. It's a bit of a troll. I start out polite. And then I sort of ease into CI. And they'll say, yeah, he's right. Wearing a suit and tie.
They won't be so passing out because you got a suit and tie.
That's how it works. They just look at the suit and tie and they say, this guy can't be a bad guy.
Well, speaking about obnoxious people, David James is about the most arrogant, obnoxious man I ever had a conversation with or tried to. If he was standing in front of me and had that conversation with me, I'd just beat his ass. I would just beat him up.
I know you would. I would expect it too, because he's just provoking you constantly. And the lies, the arrogant lies this guy tells you, any man with any integrity would just be like, that's it. I shut
you. User disconnected from your channel.
Yeah, right. And he won't take any correction at all. I quote chapters and verses and give them links.
It's the way he's doing it, like deleting comments
and he just refuses to. But that's why I made the forum thread and I told him delete this because he can't delete that.
I know any sincere man would, those sorts of tactics would just rage, like any man would just be like, this guy, like he's deleting comments, he's lying, he's bald-faced lying. That quote from Tertullian, where you gave him the proper quote and showed him how he's lying, and he says, how am I lying, Bill? Tertullian really did say that. And it's like, hey, you know.
Yeah, right.
He's such a liar.
What a clown.
I still got to catch up on that. He's still going, is he, Bill?
He tried to correct me on my language. He tried to tell me I was stupid for saying bold-faced instead of bald-faced. But if you look in...